It is a fact. Most home burglaries start with a ring of your doorbell to make sure you're not home. Alarm systems tell you after someone breaks in, but Ring Video Doorbell can prevent a burglary before it happens. Ring lets you see and speak with whoever's at your home from anywhere using your smartphone. With Ring, you're always home. Ring takes just 5 minutes to install, and for under $200, it's the easiest, most cost-effective way to protect and monitor your home. Go to ring.com/WSJ for free expedited FedEx shipping. That's ring.com/WSJ.
Hello, this is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal from New York. I'm Tanya Bustos. If there's one thing that's not cheap, it's college tuition. This week on Watching Your Wealth, Veronica Dagger examines what even the wealthy need to know about financial aid. Coming up.
From Wall Street to Main Street to your street, this is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. Money news that helps your bottom line.
This is Veronica Dagger, and you're listening to Watching Your Wealth, where you learn all you need to know about building your wealth and protecting your money. Mark Kantrowitz is a financial aid expert and publisher of CapEx.com. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Mark, so you said there are two ways a wealthy student might qualify for need-based aid. What are they?
So financial aid is based on financial need, which is defined as the difference between the college's cost of attendance and the expected family contribution. The cost of attendance is not just the tuition and fees, but also room and board, books and supplies, and other expenses. So looking at that formula, there are two ways that the wealthy student may qualify for financial aid by having a higher financial need. One is by attending a higher cost college. So a wealthy student might qualify for need-based aid at a $50,000 or $60,000 private nonprofit college, where they might not qualify for any aid at an in-state public college. The other way is to have a lower expected family contribution, which is a measure of the family's financial strength. Now, the way that you get a lower EFC is by having multiple children in college at the same time. The number of children in college functions as a divisor into the parent contribution portion of the expected family contribution.
Mm-hmm.
So going from one child in college to two children in college is like dividing the parent income in half.
So it sounds like that could have a big impact if you've got two kids in school, for sure. And so tell me about this, because, and I'm just going to play devil's advocate, because when people hear about, oh, the wealthy applying for financial aid, some wealthy families say, okay, my objective is to look poor to the colleges. That way, maybe it'll work out for me. And what do you say to people who think that way?
Well, everybody struggles to pay for college.
Right.
The poor struggle more than middle-income families, who struggle more than high-income families. But the formulas are very heavily weighted towards income as opposed to assets. So if you have multiple children in college, that doesn't mean you have twice the income.
Good point.
It's being split among your children. And because of this heavy emphasis on your cash flow, when you have more than one child in college, it's going to have a big impact. And forget about two children in college. If you have three children in college at the same time, they're going to qualify for a lot more financial aid.
Mm-hmm.
So it's better to have twins than children who are separated in ages by 4 years.
Right, for certain things, right. So, you know, and then some families will say, well, should I be trying to speak to, say you're in a lucky situation where you have a bonus and you want, or you can defer some sort of income. Should wealthy families be thinking about trying to defer income?
Well, and certainly you want to minimize income during the base year, the year upon which the FAFSA, the Free Application for Federal Student Aid, is based, which currently is the prior tax year, but will be switching to the second prior tax year or the prior year. And in particular, you want to avoid artificially increasing income during that year, such as by realizing capital gains and by taking distributions from retirement plans, and also a one-time bonus. You can appeal to the school for an adjustment based on unusual aspects of your financial circumstances. I mean, for example, if you got a one-time bonus that is not typical, you could argue that it's a one-time event that is not reflective of your ability to pay during the academic year. And some colleges might buy that argument, especially if you present them with evidence that your typical salary is much lower and was just artificially increase by this bonus or capital gains because you sold stocks to pay the college bills.
It's worth a try, at least asking the school to consider that. Great tips as always. It's always a pleasure to chat with you, Mark. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And this has been Watching Your Wealth, a production of the Wall Street Journal. I'm Veronica Dagger. For more information, check us out at wsj.com/podcasts. Thanks for listening.